I keep hearing myself really bad, so I'm going to call back in, all right?
Okay. Hello?
All right, let's try that. No, I still have it. It's Bill Barnett, Ken Jones, Kathy Sulick.
Here.
Scott there?
Yep.
Elizabeth Sal?
Yes.
Jeff Wozniak?
Yes.
Sarah?
Yep.
Tina? Tatiana?
Yes.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Peter Hammond? Deepak? Johan?
I am here.
Hey. Christy Donald? Tom? Donaldson?
Hi, yes.
Kathy?
Hey, yes, Tom. I'm here.
Kathy? John Hannigan? Sarah Jo?
Yes.
Dale's there?
Yep.
And I guess that's it. Anyone I missed? Okay. All right. So just a few informational things. I was at the ESBRA meeting in Sydney, Australia, and I was invited to give a background to a TV show called Four Corners, which is like a 60 Minutes type of episode.
Ooh.
On fetal alcohol. And they said it would be 1 hour, and I wound up there for 4 hours because they really didn't have a great idea of the problem. So, but CFAS was prominently displayed or on that, will be on that show, which is now going to air in November. And Michael and Kathy contributed pictures for the show, so hopefully CFAS will get a little international play in the Australian market, and it's a very popular show. Unfortunately, it's geo-blocked, so no one can watch it here.
Oh.
But they have said that they will send me a DVD of the episode, and they said my 4 hours will probably be condensed to a 2-minute segment. But
hopefully a really good 2 minutes.
Wow.
Well, they promised me they wouldn't make me look stupid. But it was. They kept asking me questions about the. They have this idea that it's an Aboriginal problem and not an Australian problem. So it was interesting. So we had a little bit of education to do with them. Okay, so Tom and Kathy had a big event last week, and so I would like them to tell us about it, if they don't mind.
Okay, Tom, do you want to start? Are will they be able to see? Yes, I'm now the presenter, I see, correct? Okay. Tom, did you want to say anything about the event first?
Well, go ahead. I know you have some slides for us all to see, so I'll let you start with that.
Okay. Can everybody see my screen?
No.
No?
You have to go on quick start and share my screen.
Okay. Whoops. You're breaking up. I wasn't able to hear you. Was there something I need to be doing?
Yep, under the quick start tab on the WebEx screen.
Okay, wait a sec. Wait a minute.
You have to select Share My Desktop from the center.
Okay. Have to give me a minute. I'm just trying to close out these slides now. The WebEx screen.
Well, why don't I then, Kathy, while you're doing that, just say that, yes, we had our annual gala at the Embassy of France last Thursday, and Ken Jones was terrific. He came into town and spoke to the audience and had a chance to visit with Lisa Murkowski afterwards, and many people who had not met him before or not heard him speak and didn't realize his role going back 40-plus years in our field. So I don't know if I heard that Ken was on the line, but thank you again, Ken, for being here. And I know you were here in part representing CFAS because, Ed, as you said, you were out of the country. But I want to thank you, Ed, also for the last couple of months just being so helpful. And I think, you know, talking to the whole group and others about how important NOFAS is, and many of you on the line, thank you so much for supporting the event. Well, all of you, for your great support of NOFAS in so many ways, and directly in this event last week. So, good. I can see your slides, Kathy. So I'll pass it back to you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Tom. So again, yeah, thank you to all of you. It was a great event, and I have a few photos that I'll show in a moment here. And Jill had also asked us to just give an overview of some of the many events from this September. So most of you, I know, are very well aware that on September 9th, it is FASD Day. And this year we had the first ever FASD month, and we have a web page that you can find on our website that lists a lot of the activities that people were involved in throughout the month. And hopefully in a few months, I don't know how long it'll take, FASD will actually be listed in the healthmeet.org listing that lists disorders that have months that acknowledge the month. So that was our goal. They don't list days. They only list disorders with the month. So that's why we moved forward to establish an FASD month. And I'm sure most of you know and hopefully participated in the Twitter chat that we had on September 9th that was hosted by NIAAA. And I know we have a screenshot here of some of the tweets that were part of that Twitter chat. I know it was very well received, and I believe it's the second one we've done with NIAAA. So it was a great success. There's something called Thunderclap that maybe Tom can tell you more about if you have questions, but it's something that you sign up for that will get more of your tweets out. And, you know, I don't necessarily understand how it all works, but I do know that we almost doubled the amount of supporters that we thought we would get by using Thunderclap. Our hashtag for FASD was hashtag FASD Day, but we also included the Too Young to Drink hashtag. And so we had the potential to reach over 126,000 individuals. So, again, a huge success. It just keeps getting better and better with our social media. Here's some of the Too Young to Drink tweets that went on that day, and I also have some photos I can show you. There's the new image from that campaign. And for those of you that aren't familiar with the campaign, it was started in Italy a couple years ago. The folks from the European FASD Alliance are really the people behind this, and we are also a major partner in this campaign. I did a woman named Diane Black. I think most of you know her, who is the director or president of the Alliance in Europe. we had a conversation yesterday, and there, even though the Too Young to Drink campaign has been a huge success, I believe this year we had over 60 countries participate where they would show these images and take photos of notable places and put them online. There are some problems with it in that the group Fabrica, that is the marketing arm of the Benetton clothing line, does all this pro bono. And the idea is they want to do a guerrilla marketing kind of social media deal, and so they don't want the image to come out until the day of, until 9:09 a.m. That poses a problem for a lot of the folks that want to purchase the materials and market the fact that they're doing something. Another problem is we don't have any creative input. Some people don't like the images, and also it just doesn't translate really well to some communities, like, frankly, North America, Too Young to Drink. Most people think about underage drinking, and unfortunately, when we see babies in a bottle or in a glass, oftentimes it brings up ideas that it's an anti-abortion campaign, and we actually experienced that last year when Tom and I went out in front of the Capitol and people walked by and said, oh, it says anti-abortion people. So anyway, so there's some problems, and we were talking that we might this next year come up with a new plan, but again, that's between this group here. That hasn't been announced officially, and we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But they've done a great job, and we've created an amazing coalition together of folks from around the world, and here is their Facebook page here on that next screen. There, of course, is NOFAS at the Lincoln Memorial and the Monument, and then we have some notable faces here from California. Dr. Jones, we've got folks from Missouri, and again, folks from around the world, so we just included some of those images. And I just want to say a special thanks to Tatiana, who has really been so responsive in many of our requests and our needs at NOFAS, and just thank you so much. But you know, we initiated a campaign to stamp out stigma because there's been so much kind of bullying on social media towards birth mothers. And we also, of course, want to include stigma issues around individuals with FASD. They're not all criminals. They're not all rapists. And they're not going to murder their families. Like some of the things you read. You hear these things. So we're really, we're going to roll this out in full force. And, you know, because this is something new to us, we're just learning. And any ideas that anybody has are welcome. We're going to be reposting a lot of the photos. And we really are going to depend upon you guys, again, to take those photos and get them to us. I know we have photos of Ed and Kathy and Dr. Jones and Tatiana and some of the folks that you work with, Tatiana. So it'd be great to get participation from everyone and to sign the pledge. As you see here, the views have been down by 90%. So it's something that we have to stay on. We do have almost 200 supporters, so we've got to just, we're going to really roll it out. We've just been so busy at NOFAS, we just haven't been able to really stay up on all of this. But we are planning on really rolling this out. Oh, so there's some very familiar pretty faces who have shared some of your photos, and we really do appreciate it. So we'll be doing something amazing with this, and I hope that will include a video of some sort that Andy will be working on. There is the logo from our gala, and Tom had spoken about that. Again, it was tremendous fun, and we're just sorry that all of you couldn't join us, and maybe next year CFAS, with the help of CFAS, we were able to invite many families, and it really meant a lot to them. I had a woman last night at our family support group start to cry. She told me she felt like Cinderella at the ball. So this is Nicholas and his sister Ariana with Senator Lisa Murkowski, who was one of our awardees this year. And she's always, I mean, she's our champion, really, on the Hill. And Nicholas was our speaker, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And he was very excited to meet the senator. And here's some of our other special guests, and I think you'll recognize some of these faces. Of course, there's Ken Jones with the very famous Sam Donaldson, and Sam with Scott Simon from NPR. And again, another one of our honorees was William Kennedy Smith, who had implemented the very first NOFAS medical school curriculum in New Mexico. And Andy wanted me to remind all of you, if you don't receive the roundup, please sign up for it today. You can just go to our website. It's really important, and we can really work with you to feature any papers you have coming out, anything that you want us to get the word out on. So with that, I will be quiet. I'm going to ask Tom to see if he has anything to add.
Kathy, that was great. And you really captured some of what's been going on this month. Not really. I think from the NOFAS website, and I guess from the roundup, we have posted far more photos and just a little bit more information on the event and who we recognized, who was there. As Kathy said, I think we had 25 or more individuals with an FASD and their family members. So that was really important. And again, as she said, we thank you very much for your support that supported so many of them to be able to attend. And we also, Andy's also putting together a little video compilation of the remarks. So if that's of interest, I'm sure we'll have that up in next week's Monday's roundup.
Thank you. One thing I did want to tell everybody about that you may not be aware of, we will be contacting some of you to kind of officially link you to the CDC project, the folks working on the discipline-specific work groups, and they've asked to be kind of officially connected to some of the researchers from CFAS. So you'll be hearing from me later this week about that. And I also wanted to tell you all that we recently received support from NABCA, which is the National Alcohol Beverage Control Association. So that's the association that works with all of the states that control alcohol sales. And, you know, part of their deal is that they want to keep their constituents safe and informed about alcohol. And so we're pretty excited about this. I'm going to attend their annual meeting in Des Moines, Iowa, in the, I think it's October 4th, I'll be out there October 5th, and so I'll be working with some of their committees, and so the call to action on their part will be to include FASD information, not just information about underage drinking or drunk driving, but also they need to be including information about drinking during pregnancy. So we'll be working with the states and territories that do control their alcohol sales, I'm sure, to develop materials and concepts for each of their areas. So that's pretty exciting. So I just wanted you all to know about that. Thank you so much for your time.
I wanted to thank everybody who donated to NOFAS from CFAS. I think that was really great. And for Ken Jones for going to the thing, and I've been to them in the past, and they're quite incredible. So I want to thank you for that, and it looks pretty good. And is Deb Everson's webcast coming up?
It is. I believe it's the 30th. It's next Wednesday.
anyone who hasn't heard her speak should listen in. She's really great on educational and implementation in the families, and she's really very good. So I would endorse that completely.
Yes, and she's the champion behind that the eight magic keys concept. It's really incredible.
Some other items of business. All of you, thank you for getting in those progress reports on the specific games for CFAS 3. And they have been sent to the Science Advisory Board and NIAAA. I have not received back a large number of comments yet, but I have received some. And I will be getting those out to you for your individual projects after they're discussed among the Science Advisory Board. So in case you were wondering what happened to those, we really do things with them. The other thing we need to do is try to decide on when we should meet for our annual meeting. And we have to remember that this is a year where we have to make decisions about moving forward. So I don't know what people's calendars look like, but Jill is going to start a doodle poll. But she asked me to try to find out if there are any months that simply are going to be more problematic than others. And we know that January often presents flight problems because of the weather. But if that's our only option, that's what we're going to do. So if anyone has any suggestions or conflicts that they know they will not be able to make the meeting, could you please speak up or send Jill an email so that we can start that doodle poll and secure the hotel site? And we'll be meeting in D.C., I'm assuming. Any comments on that? Anyone have any months? Jill would like to know what months seemed best. Did you like the March meeting or the January meeting? Boy, you're a talkative crowd.
Well, I was going to say January often has weather issues, but March you don't get as much bent. I mean, March we often see each other again at RSA, so it doesn't give you quite as good a window, but you often travel better in March than you do in January. That'd be my one comment.
Okay. There's a Gordon Research Conference in February, I believe, second week of February, so that presents a conflict maybe for some people. So maybe the middle of February or the we could try. All right. Does anyone go to the Gordon Research Conference?
No.
Okay. All right. So that's not a conflict, except I won't go this year. All right. All right. So unless anyone has any other business, I'd like to just move forward now into the projects. We haven't really gone through those lately and to see how people are feeling about what they're getting done. According to the Google Docs, people are collecting data at a reasonable pace here for the most part. Many projects are at, near, or have surpassed their quotas and or their goals anyway. And I am pleased about that. There's been some real upswings in the last month or two. So that's good. So if we want to go through where we are, I would like that. Bill's not on for informatics. And Ken's
Yes, I am, actually, Ed.
Oh, Bill, anything from the informatics and latest?
Just three quick things. First of all, we think that the cross-query tool is basically up and running, and if you guys want to start using it, and if you report any problems, let us know, but we think that we pretty much have it in good shape. The second thing that's up is that Helen went and developed a process and procedure for external investigators to use our REDCap software to query the data. So she actually has already set up a process for external investigators to access the data. And if you'd like, she'd be happy to demonstrate that. She's not on the call this month, but I'd be happy to kind of run through that real quick with the consortium. And the third thing is, I think the next thing that we need to do in terms of the data access committee is to kind of come up with a marketing statement to more broadly advertise the availability of our data. And so I think that's a to-do for us. Those are the three things for me.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that cross-query tool is up. And, again, I think the marketing issue now becomes we have to let people know that it's available, and we will schedule Helen for the next conference call to demonstrate the REDCap software. All right?
Yeah, great. Thanks.
Okay. Any questions for Bill? Boy, a quiet group today. Ken Jones, you're not on, I don't believe. Kathy Sulikin Scott, what's going on there?
Scott's going to tell you what we're doing.
So you all know we've been playing with cilia as a mechanism, and we got our first preliminary data back from our RNA-seq, our first RNA-seq experiment. And there were a lot of changes with after ethanol exposure, but one of the prominent changes were a lot of cilia-related genes. So demonstrating that we might be right, that we definitely aren't to something here.
I'm having a hard time hearing you, Scott. Can you?
Sure. Okay, can you hear me now okay?
Much better. Thank you.
Okay. So you all know we've been playing around with this cilia hypothesis. And we did our first RNA-seq experiment to look at the ethanol-induced changes. And quite excitingly, we found a significant number of cilia-related gene changes. So definitely suggesting that we're onto something here. And hopefully with our further experiments and with Johan, we can kind of nail this down a little more as we go forward.
Scott, for my benefit, this is Dale. Could you remind me how you got into the cilia story? I'm just trying to see if think about whether what you're talking about is if there's some redundancy or you're telling us something new.
So, I think it was last year at the meeting we have a short presentation on this, but so we've noticed recently that there is some similarity between early gestation ethanol induced phenotypes and the phenotypes involved in some of the ciliopathies,
mm-hmm.
like Joubert syndrome, for example. And so we had the ideal that maybe cilia are related in ethanol-induced brain and face changes. And that's how we got there.
I gotcha. So the transcriptomics is dimension.
Signal through cilia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, and some of Johan's work was also pointing in that direction, too.
Okay.
So
are these structural components of the cilia or signaling molecules?
One is a signaling molecule. The others are largely involved in ciliogenesis, so building and maintaining cilia.
Okay.
As well as things like post-translational modification of tubulin, for example, which is really important to cilia stability.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that sounds like it may be a profitable way to go for future plans. Certainly, I think you could develop a project around that. I think when you presented that at the last meeting, everyone was excited about it. And as a possibility, it's good to see you have some data that's going to support that now.
Yeah, we had initially, I don't know if you remember, but we had talked to Tatiana about maybe even, you know, fishing for some hedgehog pathway-related genes, and you'll recall that hedgehog signals through cilia, and one of the reasons that we didn't pursue the hedgehog pathway thing is because it's so very broad. You know, that it isn't just hedgehog itself, but all the upstream and downstream things related to it that could be provide some susceptibility if those genes are mutated. And so this would just, our first RNA-seq data would be very suggestive that we should maybe zero in on some of the cilia-related genes.
And narrowing, so I would just add, being able to narrow that makes it a much more viable option. So Kathy's exactly, we had a whole, when you go and look at how many genes you potentially would need to nominate, I mean, I think it was close to 1,000 genes on the original approach, and just the number of samples you need to be able to interpret noise versus, you know, what might be real was just, it was undoable. It was completely unpowered. But again, if it's able to be narrowed to a smaller number of genes, then that becomes something that I think is really interesting. We're just trying to get ourselves some power to look at it.
Yeah, I think that's the real power of the animal models, is that we can help you narrow these things down.
Absolutely.
And you can nail it down in the end.
Yeah.
Scott, I got another question or two. So you're looking at the transcriptome, and it's depressed in that area.
Not always depressed.
Okay, but are there tools? Are there commercially available antibodies? Are the proteins that make up the cilia so abundant that you could run an SDS page to corroborate, basically?
We are working on that in a number of different ways. Doing things, just as simple as immunohistochemistry and in situ hybridization, and some pretty fancy microscopy, because these cilia are pretty small. So to answer your question, yes, we are working on that, and there are ways to confirm and to verify.
Right.
Can I ask a question?
Yes,
sure.
So I'm wondering if, and I don't know how to phrase the question as well as I'd like, but is there any way that looking at candidate genes from what you're doing, if we could look at those in a very large sample of kids, I'm talking about the PING data, is there any way that could help us figure out about alcohol if we had, you know, just mother report of drinking? I mean, because we've got like 1,000 kids with genes and brains.
Do you have whole exome or GWAS? What do you have on those kids, Elizabeth?
I think it's GWAS, but I could find out for sure.
Yeah, so let me say a couple things about that. So part of what the hypothesis was, at least the way I've been thinking about it based on the data that that's been shown in animals, is we're probably looking, I think, for rare variants, so something that's probably relatively rare but is only obviously has its effect in the presence of prenatal alcohol exposure. So one of the challenges of that is GWAS is really designed to find common variants. And so what we had proposed, and of course, I never say I'm right until I find something, that what you'd be thinking of is to do sequencing, and that's where I struggled. So we had talked about trying to do some whole exome sequencing, again, looking for rare variants, because there are, large number of women who drink, various times, not large numbers, but there are women who drink during pregnancy, and yet only a subset of individuals have, whether we want to talk about full-blown FAS or if we want to talk about, spectrum, et cetera. So we were thinking it would still need to be something relatively rare, given the frequencies of FAS. And so for that, you'd need sequencing. And maybe I'm wrong in that hypothesis.
Well, one of the things I wanted to mention today about the genetics part of this is that a guy, Dr. Stephen Kingsmore, was recruited by Rady Children's Hospital at UCSD. And he got $120 million from a foundation here in San Diego to do whole genome-wide sequencing for all the children coming into their neonatal intensive care. And he thinks he's going to do this on 2,500 kids a year. And Ken hopefully could make contact with him. I mean, Ken and his wife are the ones who do all the diagnosis of FAS at Rady Children's. So I don't know if that would be useful to you or not.
Oh, my gosh, that'd be great. I mean, So what do they want to do? It's all research-based, Ken? I mean, Ed, is
no,
that
no,
all
he,
research?
No, he wants to do it on every kid. He's going to start out in the neonatal intensive care unit. They're going to work through to the outpatient clinics.
But it's a research-based test is what I mean. They're not returning results.
No, I believe he wants to return results to people and let them know. He wants to try to find what's causing kids' problems.
Okay.
If they are being misdiagnosed or whatever, and he's entered into a thing with Illumina that they're going to do it for like $1,000 a piece or less. And so, I mean, that's just a possibility. It was just reported the other day, 4 days ago. It's probably part of it.
There's a big push for precision medicine. People call personalized medicine various things. That sounds like it's a lot of institutions are trying to cope with that. But if they have the money, which is usually the first piece of it, the ability to screen large numbers of kids, and if you knew something about alcohol exposure, and of course on outcomes, that's what you're partly looking for. I'd like to hear what. Know what everyone else thinks, but that, what you're looking for is something that could be rare cause, and it could be different genes in different individuals. It could be the pathway that's important rather than a specific gene. I don't know what everyone else thinks. So you would need to be testing larger numbers.
Illumina, I guess, now has this 50-hour technique where they can do it, and it's called STAT, and they say it costs $20,000 a shot, but they are going to just kind of do it, and they got this $120 million to make it happen. And he wants to basically, let's see, his quote here is, we believe that there are children who don't need to suffer, and we're going to fix that one child at a time. So he's going to do every kid he can do, and eventually could be up to 2,500 kids a year.
So this is Elizabeth again. You know, ABCD, just today I noticed that on my ERA Commons it says award prepared. So I'm saying that just because, you know, we don't have money in ABCD to do genetic analyses, but as part of our consortium, your colleagues there in San Diego got some sort of deal with some company who can do genetic analyses. I'll figure out more. But, you know, we're not, at least the proposal, we're not excluding kids for exposure. I mean, I think there's details to be worked out. But we would have 10,000 9- and 10-year-olds within 2 years if all goes as planned with genetic data.
Absolutely.
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay. I think, you know, until we have more details, I want to give everybody a chance today. So. Sarah, anything new and exciting?
New and exciting. We've been working on some papers that aren't quite ready for prime time, but we're getting really close on a bunch. So there'll probably be a flurry of activity maybe by next call.
Okay. Elizabeth?
Yeah, so... one good thing is that Christina Eubin is back from maternity leave, and so she's, you know, gearing up on some papers that she had been working on before with, you know, brain, BTI, and sex differences. Well, I'm excited that you and Michael and I wrote that sort of extended opinion piece in Trends in Cognitive Science, and it was just accepted a few days ago. And that, you know, that's not really a quote, a science piece, but I think everyone, you know, with Kathy's presentation this morning, I think it's going to be really good. And I will say that I wrote it, and then Michael edited it and worked his magic, and it was just such an eloquent, beautiful piece. So we switched authorship, but
yeah.
Excited about that.
They did the majority of the work, trust me. And Michael just did an outstanding job in putting everyone's ideas into, so we all sounded really smart.
So I don't know how, because again, it's not a science piece, and we didn't, CFAS wasn't an author, but it's prominently stated in the text. So I don't know, and I think it's under some sort of embargo, but I'll find out when we can, well, we can share it internally amongst ourselves.
Well, we tried to get a release for the FIFA, or for the NOFA, but they wouldn't let us.
No.
So, all right.
Okay, this is Jill. I'm going to be a brat, but much like data isn't data until it's in the central repository, let's do the publication steps on these publications. Get them in the system. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's on the screen right now.
Yeah, because one of the steps is once you guys get it submitted and accepted, then we in turn, the publication committee turns it in then to NOFAST to get it out, and there's a whole system.
And you're going to want to have that be promoted by NIAAA, don't you think? I mean, that sounds like a kind of thing that they would want to highlight.
But I recall vaguely that I'm not sure they can. I remember Ken saying, because it's not...
It's not a research piece that they can't come out with anything about it.
But our institution
concept. All right. Tatiana and Peter, you got anything to...
Yep. Is Peter on?
I don't think so.
So Peter's got a manuscript that we've been working on. Of course, it's his manuscript that I've just been editing with him. That's reporting results in the U.S. population. That needs to get finished. Then we also did a call yesterday with PATH to go over progress with data from PATH. I think it was a good call. Unfortunately, the whole South Africa group wasn't on it, so we're going to do it again at the end of October. I think what's interesting in that data is exploring some possible, I don't know if interactions is the right word, but perhaps relationships between smoking and alcohol exposure in terms of some facial asymmetry. And so it's a good exchange. I think there's a lot more work to be done, but that was a good call. And then I don't know if Michael Charnas is on, but Sarah and I have a call tomorrow to go over cognitive phenotypes because I know Michael's anxious that we get a reanalysis on FIN data, and we'd like to make sure we have some cognitive phenotypes that use the whole data set. So we'll have that call tomorrow, and then we'll finish our analysis for FIN.
Yeah, I don't believe Michael's on today. It's Jan Kapoor.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And Jeff Wozniak, what's new in Minnesota?
Well, I am utilizing the cross-query tool today as we speak and having pretty good luck getting data pulled from that. And I'm in the process of pulling together somewhere between 155 and 180 resting state data sets across the four sites and pulling that all together with our cognitive data and our dysmorphology data. So I am working on that, which hopefully will turn into a publication soon.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is there any way that, or and Tatiana, to add some sort of measure from the 3D space in addition to the dysmorphology, like a variable that seems to work really well with prediction in the face, and see if you could look at that as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you could. So you could use a principal component is probably the best thing I would recommend. So you could do either a couple different things. You could use obviously a face or a philtrum. You could also potentially look at, you know, Peter's got some nice PCs in terms of the side profile. That would probably, I mean, any one of those potentially could be a direction that you could go into.
Okay.
What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. And then maybe when I get this data set in shape, we can kind of look at it.
Yeah, the biggest challenge is, of course, they're defined, the PCs, they're defined by the data set in which you use to define them. And so that would be the one thing we'd have to talk about is which cut of data you're using, just to make sure, like, are you using a multi-ethnic sample? Are you using, like, a white-only sample, age variation and all that? We definitely would want to talk about that, just to make sure you've got PCs that are relevant for the population that you're using.
Right. It's essentially anyone that we get good imaging data from, so we'd have to go from that end, you know, in terms of who the subjects are, and then probably have to rerun the components analysis, I would think.
In just that group.
Yeah, if you can give us just a sense of which cut, you know, kind of which data you've got or subjects, I bet you I could figure out whether or not it would line up with something that he's done, his PCs on recently. He just redid them over the summer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Johan.
I guess the exciting bit is that we're getting our behavioral analyses up and running, so we'll be able to start testing our ethanol-exposed fish for social and learning and memory defects.
All right, that's exciting. A couple of papers just come out on social behavior, I believe. So that's All right. Let's see. Did I miss anybody? Dr. Donald, you there? Okay, no. All right, so I guess I didn't miss anybody. So I think John Hannigan joined us. Was that? Did I hear his voice?
You did.
All right, so from the Science Advisory Board, any comments? I think you're it today.
I am, okay. No, I have nothing. I do have the those blurbs of progress that were sent out, and that will be getting back to you on those.
All righty. Okay. Dale?
Yeah, same here. I've been a little bogged down lately, but I'll get on to the progress reports and get you all feedback. I know Bill Dunty, who I don't believe is on the call today, has been putting in some time looking at them, and so we'll get that stuff in order here shortly.
All righty. Sarah Jo, you're on now, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I have nothing really to add. I made a first stab at the progress reports and sent a few comments, and I'm sure I'll revisit it as well.
Okay. And everyone, Sarah Jo's recovering from some knee surgery, but she's doing well, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I'm not kicking butt yet. But
we wish you a speedy recovery.
Thank you. So does my lab. They can't stand it.
What are you, at work?
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's
not
finding Miss Daisy, though.
All right. So any other comments, concerns, whatever, before we terminate this call?
Get a doodle poll from Jill, perhaps? Or
yeah, maybe we'll try for the end of February or mid of February. Hope the weather is.
Yeah.
Do we need to meet in Washington?
possibly not.
San Diego's really nice in February.
Yeah,
well, maybe not. No, maybe not.
The Pope
could be
won't
wrong.
Be here in February.
The what?
The Pope won't be here in February.
Well, I was thinking maybe somewhere more where the climate we might have less weather problems getting into. New Orleans.
Ooh. I really like meeting in North Carolina.
Austin's a nice place.
We'd love
Austin's
to have you.
Austin's a nice place.
It is lovely that time of year.
Maybe Austin.
I've never been to Austin, and I would love
I won't offer Indiana. How's that?
We've done that. Pardon?
Why isn't Detroit in this conversation?
Yes.
We could probably get some cheap accommodations.
There's a new book out. There's a new book out about Detroit, John. Read it, and then you'll know why.
Oh, yeah. Which one is that?
I don't know. Somebody wrote this book about this one street in Detroit just in the general renaissance of Detroit and what it still needs. But
it needs us and our spending.
All right, so we will, because if we could meet outside of Washington, that would be great, but I know your travel budget's relatively on the slimmer side.
Yeah, it's not entirely out of the question, though, so we can explore that.
All right, okay, and Johan, would you be happy to help us host if we went to Austin?
Sure, yeah.
You know,
how many horses
the university,
do you
have? Well, the university has great facilities, you know, so it might be even cost effective. All righty. Until next time.
Hold on, I have one thing.
Yep.
So October, we're going to stay with the fourth Wednesday like today was. But November and December,
November's fourth Wednesday is the day before Thanksgiving, and December's fourth Wednesday is the day before Christmas Eve. So I will be sending another doodle poll to see whether or not people can make it. We're going to try for the first or the fourth Wednesday, and whichever one has the most takers, we'll do that for November and December.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent.
All righty. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.